This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina al-Mabuthi Rahmatan lil Alameen Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, those who are here at Tayyumay Center and those who are online, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single moment that Allah gives us in remembering Him, and remembering the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by remembering the biography of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And we should be so honored and privileged to be from amongst those who follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we've been talking about the seerah and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam had encountered from his own people. And last we left you with the amazing journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was full of struggle, full of burden, full of hardship. And that's when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to reach out to people outside Mecca in a Taif and speak to a bit to the people of Taif about the Prophet Muhammad, or about himself, or about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about Islam. But unfortunately, the people of Taif responded to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so abruptly, so aggressively, they even start to abuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam verbally and physically. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned back from At-Ta'if with a broken heart and also an injured body, because the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stoned. This is the hardship that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad alaihi salatu wasallam, when he was asked after the battle of Uhud by his wife Aisha, or messenger of Allah, have you ever encountered the day worse than the day of Uhud to you? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, absolutely, the day of Ta'if. The day of Ta'if was the worst day that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ever encountered. The day of Ta'if has been the worst day that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ever experienced. But obviously it's hard. It's harsh. It's a big struggle. But after hardship, there's always an ease. After hardship, there's always an ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. After hardship, there's an ease. After struggle, there's a reward. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after what he had encountered and experienced over the years from the people of Quraysh, then at Ta'if, then returning back to Mecca sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the protection of a non-believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to reward the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the great reward. And the reward that followed the hardships that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through is the great miracle of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. It came after the death of his uncle Abu Talib, his wife Khadija, and after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to At-Ta'if and encountered and faced and experienced what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encountered and faced. Some of the scholars say it took place in the 10th year after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received his first revelation. Other scholars say a year before, a year after. Let's stick to the 10th year after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelation, and that was few months after the death of Abu Talib and his wife Khadija, and few nights and days after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned back from the journey of At-Ta'if. And the narration goes as follows. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, the greatest man to ever tread this earth. And the greatest miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Quran al-Kareem. And the scholars say the second greatest miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with after the Quran al-Kareem is the journey of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. The word Isra in Arabic means the night journey. So Arabs, when they travel at night, they call it Isra. Mi'raj means ascension, going from down up. That's Mi'raj. We all know that it refers to the night journey the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam traveled from Mecca to Jerusalem. That's the Isra. And then Mi'raj from Jerusalem being ascended to the seventh heaven and beyond. The scholars say this journey took place in the month of Rajab, which is 2 months before the month of Ramadan, in the 10th year after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received his first revelation, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I slept that night near the Kaaba." Some narrations say he slept that night in the house of Umhani. Other narrations say that he slept that night near the Kaaba. And in the middle of the night, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam receives unexpected guest. This guest was Jibreel alayhi salam, calling upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get up. This is in the middle of the night. Everyone else is asleep. No one is awake. Oh Muhammad, get up. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets up. There it was Jibreel alayhi salam with an invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. A special invitation. An invitation to Muhammad and only Muhammad and no one but Muhammad, and no one will ever get this invitation ever again. Oh Muhammad, get up. You are summoned. You are invited. You are called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With Jibreel alayhi salam, he had a beast known as the Buraq. And the Buraq, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes to be in between a donkey and a mule. Unprecedented, unknown beast that you're not going to find or see anywhere. It's a specific beast that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created as a form of travel or a form of transport for the prophets and messengers. Not only the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had used the Buraq, but previous prophets and messengers before him had also mounted and used the Buraq. It's a beast. As much as I try and describe it to you, I've never seen it. And no one can claim they've seen it. It's a beast that you're not going to find in the jungle, or in the desert, or in the zoo. In between a donkey and a mule. How does it look? Allahu A'lam. But there's something about that beast. Each step of that beast is as far as that beast can see. So he sees from here to 10 kilometers, that's one step. He sees from here to 50 kilometers, that's a second step. Which means, he could cut across 1,000 kilometers by maybe 10, 15, or even 20 steps. He'll be there in a split of a second, in a minute. Something which is not normal during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Muhammad, get up. For what? You are summoned by Allah. You are called by Allah. Allah wants to see you tonight. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets up. And there Jibreel alayhi salam with Al-Buraq. Al-Buraq takes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the first destination, Mecca to Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Aqsa in Arabic means far away. And Masjid al-Aqsa was far away from Mecca and Medina. الذي باركنا حوله. It is the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is the place that we had blessed and blessed its surroundings. Masjid al-Aqsa and the surroundings of al-Aqsa, al-Quds, Jerusalem, is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the first Qibla of the Muslims. At that time, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was facing Masjid al-Aqsa, one of the companions asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a messenger of Allah, what's the first masjid to be established on the face of this earth? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this mosque, Masjid al-Haram. Then what? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Masjid al-Aqsa. Then he asked, so a messenger of Allah, what's the duration between the establishment of Masjid al Haram al-Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says 40 years. 40 years. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taken on the back of the Buraq, which each step is as far as this Buraq can see. It was taken from Masjid al-Haram, Mecca, to Masjid al-Aqsa, Jerusalem. Few steps and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there. Few steps, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from Masjid al-Haram, Mecca, to Masjid al-Aqsa, Jerusalem. During that time, it will take him 2 months there, traveling on foot and 2 months back. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there already. Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Aqsa. First destination, Mecca to Jerusalem. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had arrived to Masjid al-Aqsa, in Jerusalem, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived to Jerusalem now, and that's the first time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever reaches, or that's the first time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever arrives to Jerusalem. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever been to Jerusalem ever before. It was his first and last. And there the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is with Jibreel Alayhi Salam. Mecca, Jerusalem, with Jibreel alayhi salam on the back of the mount. Please don't ask me, was Jibreel also on the back of the Buraq? Wallah, I don't know. I know sometimes we like to ask the questions and we'll know everything and about everything and about everyone. Allahu A'lam. But Jibreel doesn't need the Buraq, we all know that. Mecca, Jerusalem, and Nabi Sassam was there on the back of the Buraq with Jibreel alayhi salam. Upon the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Jerusalem, there are two narrations about the same topic. Did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray with the prophets and messengers before he was ascended or after he was ascended? But I'm going to talk about it after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ascended, which means after he descended. But what happened there when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Jerusalem? Allah put the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the test. And the test was Jibreel offered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam 2 cups. 1 cup with yogurt or milk, the other cup of alcohol or wine. So Jibreel offered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam 2 cups. 1 cup that carries milk or yogurt, the other one is alcohol or wine. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose the cup of yogurt or milk over the alcohol or wine. So Jibreel alayhi salam tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Muhammad, you are safe and you made your nation safe and you had chosen what's right. By Allah, if you had chosen the cup of alcohol or wine, you would have been doomed and your nation would have been doomed. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That journey from Mecca to Jerusalem during the night is called Isra. Mi'raj is when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to ascend from earth, from the center of Jerusalem to the heavens. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to ascend, Mi'raj. But that point, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended him and Jibreel alone. What about the Buraq, the beast? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left it in Jerusalem. It was left there. It was Ali Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Jibreel. They start to ascend. My brothers and my sisters, you all know that we live in a world. And this world is the first world, but then you've got the first heaven above this world. And above the first heaven, there's the second heaven. And above the second heaven, there's the third heaven. And when we talk about the heaven, not what you see above in the horizon, these are the skies. And the skies are still part of the first heaven. And I know I'm talking about something that's beyond what you and I can conceive or even imagine. But that's what we know and we believe and we adhere to. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, this world in front of the first heaven is like a ring in the desert. Throw a ring in the desert. Throw a ring here right in the middle of this place. It's so tiny. The size of this ring in front of the rest of the area is 0.0001%, if not more. A ring in the desert, that's how this world in front of the first heaven. And the first heaven in front of the second heaven is like a ring in the desert. And the second heaven in front of the third heaven is like a ring in the desert. And the third in front of the fourth is like a ring in the desert. And the fourth in front of the fifth is like a ring in the desert. And the fifth in front of the sixth is like a ring in the desert. And the sixth in front of the seventh heaven is like a ring in the desert. And this world and the seven heavens put together in front of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a ring in the desert. We are little tiny creatures, my brothers in Islam. We are little tiny creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my sisters in Islam. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets to the second phase of the journey, which is the ascension. Jerusalem to the heavens. Him and Jibreel alone. They ascend from earth to the first heaven. Upon arriving to the first heaven, the heavens have gates which are shut and closed. And there are gatekeepers from the angels that protect and guard the gates of the heavens. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Jibreel alayhi salam arriving to the first heaven, knocking on the gate of the first heaven. The angels of the first heaven, or the angels of the gatekeepers of the first heaven, will say, "Who's there?" Jibreel will speak. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to say what? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is blown away. Jibreel alayhi salam is used to it. They knock on the door and the gate of the first heaven. The gatekeepers of the angels will say, "Who's there?" Jibreel will speak and say, "It is Jibreel." The angels and the gatekeepers of the first heaven will say, "And do you have someone with you?" They are asking that question because they know there's a special man that's coming. The most special man that ever existed. Not in this world, in all worlds, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Who's there?" "Jibreel." "Anyone with you?" "Yes." "Who?" "Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So the angels of the first heaven would say, "And was he invited?" So Jibreel would say, "Yes." So they opened the gates of the first heaven. Welcome, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the first heaven. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encounters the first prophet and messenger in the first heaven. And that's our grandfather Adam alayhi salam, the father of all mankind. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will greet Adam, "Assalamu alaykum," and Adam will greet him back, "Wa alaykum assalam," or prophet, a son of a prophet. He already knows. And then Adam alayhi salam will turn towards his right and he will smile. Turn towards his left and he'll cry. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Jibreel, "Why?" He turns towards his right, he sees people from his children, progeny, offspring, who are from the people of the paradise, so he's happy. He smiles. Then he turns towards his left and looks towards his left and he sees people, children of his, who are us, in the hellfire, so he weeps and cries. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam move away to depart to the second heaven. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascends from the first heaven to the second heaven with Jibreel alayhi salam. There are narrations that say a journey between the first heaven and second heaven is 500 years journey. A journey between the second heaven and third heaven is 500 years journey. Second and third 500, third and fourth 500. You know, we're talking about something that's beyond what we can see. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of all affairs. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascends to the second heaven. Jibreel alayhi salam knocks on the gates of the second heaven. The gatekeepers and the angels of the second heaven would say, "Who's there?" Jibreel alayhi salam will respond and say, it is Jibreel. And they would say, "And do you have someone with you?" He would say, "Yes, I have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with me." They would ask, "And was he invited?" He would say yes. So they welcome. Open the gates of the second heaven for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the second heaven to meet with his fellow brothers from prophets and messengers. Yahya and Isa. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam refers to them awlad al-khala, first cousins. Both mothers are sisters. Yahya alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, both in the second heaven. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam describes them, speaks highly of them, and speaks how beautiful Isa alayhi salam is, and Yahya alayhi salam, and the rest of the prophets and messengers. But then when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam greets Yahya and Isa, assalamu alaykum wa alaykum assalam, and then they respond to him, welcome, a prophet, a son of all prophets. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam departs to the third heaven, where Jibreel alayhi salam will knock on the gates of the third heaven. The angels of the third heaven will open the gates after they've asked the same questions. Who's there? Jibreel. Do you have anyone else with you? Yes, Muhammad. Has he been invited? Yes, welcome. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters the third heaven and he's blown away. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is blown away by the beauty of the Prophet and the Messenger that he sees in the third heaven. Who's that? Yusuf. Assalamu alaykum, wa alaykum assalam. Yusuf alayhi salam replies back, a prophet, a son of all prophets. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is welcomed by Yusuf. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam departs and he says, by Allah, as if Allah had created the beauty and divided it in two halves. One half for Yusuf on his own and the other half for the entire creation of Allah. That's how beautiful he was, alayhi salam. That's the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Yusuf alayhi salam. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascends to the fourth heaven. And once again, Jibreel alayhi salam knocks on the gate of the fourth heaven. The angels of the fourth heaven and the gatekeepers of the fourth heaven would say, who's there? It's Muhammad. It's Jibreel. Do you have anyone else with you? Muhammad. Has he been invited? Yes. They open the gates of the fourth heaven to welcome Jibreel alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam encounters another prophet, and that's Prophet Idris. Assalamu alaykum, a Prophet Idris, wa alaykum assalam, a prophet, a son of all prophets. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam departs the fourth heaven to the fifth heaven. And we're not talking about Bankstown to Punchbowl. We're not talking about Australia to New Zealand. We're not talking about Australia to Europe. We're talking about a heaven to another heaven that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, 500 years journey in between the two. And now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascends from the fourth heaven to the fifth heaven. And there, Jibreel alayhi salam knocks on the gates of the fifth heaven. The gatekeepers of the fifth heaven ask, who's there? Jibreel. Do you have anyone with you? Yes, Muhammad. Has he been invited? Yes. So they open the gates of the fifth heaven to welcome the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, accompanied by Jibreel alayhi salam. And there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam encounters another prophet in that fifth heaven, and that's Prophet Harun, Musa alayhi salam's brother. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam greets him. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. He replies back, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. A prophet, a son of prophets. He is son of prophets. Yes, not his father or grandfather, but great, great, great grandfather, Ismail to Ibrahim. And then they all go back to Nuh and then Adam alayhi salam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascends to the sixth heaven. And once again, knocking on the gates of the sixth heaven. Who's there? Jibreel. Anyone with you? Muhammad. Has he been invited? Yes. The gates are wide open for the greatest man to ever tread. Not this world, but forever to exist in this world and the hereafter. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters the sixth heaven. And there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam encounters Musa alayhi salam. Musa ibn Imran. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Musa alayhi salam, he replies back, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. A prophet, a son of prophets. An endorsement, respect to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam exchanges more with Musa for some reason. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also describes him, and he says, as if he's one of those tribes, dark skin. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives a bit of description about him, as if he's one of those tribes which are known during his time sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be dark people. Not very dark, but dark, tan. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam departs from Musa alayhi salam. Upon the departure of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Musa, Musa starts to cry. So he was asked, Musa, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because there's a man, a young man, who'll come after me. There's a lot more people from his nation that shall enter the Jannah and the paradise than my nation. Who's that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what nation are we talking about? You, me, us. The nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascends to the seventh heaven and last and final heaven. Knocking on the gates of the seventh heaven. Who's there? Jibreel, do you have anyone with you? Muhammad, has he been invited? Yes. Welcome. And the gates of the seventh heaven open for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam encounters his grandfather there, Ibrahim. Alayhi salatu wasallam says, by Allah, no one resembles him as much as I do. Subhanallah, we look alike. Very close in our looks. He's from the progeny of Ibrahim, isn't he? Ismail. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam encounters grandfather Ibrahim leaning his back to Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. And Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur is like a Kaaba in the heaven. Where Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaning his back to the Bayt Al-Ma'mur. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, every single day Allah creates 70,000 angels that shall go and visit the Bayt al-Ma'mur and circle around the Bayt al-Ma'mur and never ever go back to it ever again. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. No one knows the soldiers of Allah except Allah himself. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had recited. Amazing. Amazing. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam greets Ibrahim. Ibrahim welcomes him. Welcome. A prophet. A son of all prophets. And then a bit of a conversation exchanges between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his grandfather Ibrahim. And then Ibrahim says, O Muhammad, convey my salam. Send my salam to your nation. Ibrahim is saying to you, Salamu alaykum. What's your response? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Yeah, Ibrahim. And tell your nation. Now this is a message that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed on to us. From Ibrahim alayhi salam to us, tell your nation that the Jannah is so green and beautiful. So green and beautiful. And it's flat. And the structure of the Jannah is to constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You say Subhanallah, one tree gets implanted for you in the Jannah. Alhamdulillah, another tree for you in the Jannah. La ilaha illallah, another tree for you in the Jannah. And more and more and more and more. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam greets his grandfather Ibrahim to go beyond the seventh heaven. A boundary that no one had ever crossed. Seven heavens, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had met Ibrahim alayhi salam at the seventh heaven. What's after the seventh heaven? There's something called Sidratul Muntaha. And Sidratul Muntaha can be explained in different ways, but it's the end, not of this world. The world ended from the first heaven. But it's an end of a beginning that we don't know the end of it or the beginning. Something beyond you and I. Something beyond you and I. Sidratul Muntaha is the ending love. The end. But it's not the end. There's a beginning after it. But the end for some. To the extent that while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Jibreel alayhi salam were ascending. They were ascending. Until they reached to the Sidrat al-Muntaha. Jibreel stopped and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued. Some narrations say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned around to Jibreel and said, Jibreel, what happened? You've been with me from the time of Mecca to Jerusalem all the way here. You leave me alone when we reach to this point. So that's when Jibreel says, oh Muhammad, no one. No creation of Allah, angel, prophet, or any creation of Allah had ever gone beyond this point. Except you. Continue. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on his own now. To go beyond Sidrat al-Muntaha to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets with Allah azza wa jal. How did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meet with Allah? How did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak to Allah? How did Allah speak to him? These are beyond what we can conceive. But we know for a fact the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't see Allah, because he was asked that question, did you see Allah? He said, a great bright light beyond what I could even see. Nurun anna ara, how can I see the great law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's beyond what my eye can see. But Allah had spoken to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had spoken to Allah. And at that moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam few things. Amongst the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah and the great gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gifted us. Not gold, not silver. Gold and silver, Allah gives it to anyone. The great gift of the Salah. Subhanallah, gift. Gift. People look at the Salah as a burden. Little do they know it's a gift. The great gift of the Salah was granted to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam by Allah. Every other order used to come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Jibreel, except the Salah. Due to the importance of the Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it through. Didn't make it through Jibreel. Allah had made it from him straight to Muhammad. At that moment, my brothers and my sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Salah, and the Salah was 50 times a day. Not 5, not 10, 50. Divide it over 24 hours, you'll be praying every 27 minutes. But you know the amazing part of it? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the 50 salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even think twice. He just took it and came back. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful thing. You know, Allah had given me all this great gift. Why should I even think twice about it? Like someone gives you a lot of gold, you're going to say, no, that's too much. No, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it any time of the day. Allah gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 50 salah during the day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam straight away. Did not even think twice. Allahu Akbar, what an honor. He grabbed her and came back. Upon his return, he crosses paths with Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam wants to know, what did Allah give you? Musa's got more experience than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's true. He has more experience. He's been there. He lived with the most harshest and stubbornest of people. As he himself describes. Oh Muhammad, what did Allah give you? Obviously Allah gave you something. What did Allah give you? He said, Allah gave me 50 prayers. And I'm sure Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a big massive smile on his face. What a beautiful thing. 50 prayers. Musa says, 50 prayers during the day and night? Oh Muhammad, take it from me. Take it from me. I have experience. Your nation can't. Can't burden 50 prayers during the day and night. That's too much on them. Go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce it. Go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to drop the number down. 50 prayers during the day and night. That's a lot of prayers. Your nation can't burden that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being embarrassed and shy, he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce the number of prayers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dropped it from 50 to 45. Some narrations say Allah dropped it from 50 to 40. Coming down, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillah, that's good. Returning back, again, Musa tells him, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you in return? He said, Allah dropped 5 or 10, according to the narration. Let's stick to the 10. So Musa alayhi salam says, no, no, no. 40 prayers? That's too much. I'm telling you, too much. Your nation can't burden that. It's too much on them. Go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more reduction. So he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah dropped to another 10. 30 prayers during the day and night. Coming back again with 30 prayers, Musa tells him, how many prayers did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordain upon your nation? Nabi Sassim said 30. Musa said, go back to Allah and ask him to reduce. That's way too much on your nation. So he went back to Allah. Allah dropped it to 20. Returning back, Musa tells him, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you? He said 20. He said, no, no, no. I'm telling you, take it from me, O Muhammad. Take it from me. I've got experience. Your nation can't handle it. It's too much on them. Go back and ask Allah for reduction. So Allah dropped it to 10. Coming back, Musa again. How many prayers did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordain the nation? Nabi Sassim said 10. Musa said, go and ask Allah for reduction. I'm telling you, Muhammad, take it from me. Take it from me. It's too much on your nation. So Musa alayhi salam encouraged the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go back. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more discount, for more reduction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dropped it to 5, from 50 to 5. That's 90% discount. You're not gonna get a bargain better than this. But you know what? You know what's amazing? It's not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dropped it 90% from 50 to 5. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, Musa asked him, so how many prayers did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordain on the nation? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 5. Musa tells him, go back to Allah and ask him to reduce it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now this is becoming an embarrassment. I can't. He dropped it from 50 to 5. I'm too embarrassed, too shy to go back to Allah and ask him for more reduction from 50 to 5. Fully. Left it to 10%. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have ordained upon your nation 5 prayers during the day and night, but I'll continue to give them the rewards of 50 prayers during the day and night. Allahu Akbar. This is what Allah had given you and I. It's 5 during the day, but 50 in rewards. You maintain the rewards, don't worry. Come and work for me 1 hour a day, but I'll still give you the wage of 10 hours. Let me see who's going to do that for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a lot more than what you could even think of. Allah blessed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with 50 prayers in rewards, but 5 in action. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns back with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of 5 prayers during the day and night. Upon the return of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salam took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a quick tour. Where's the tour now? Some sightseeing. A sightseeing in the heavens, to the paradise and to the Jannah, to the hellfire. Jibreel takes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see the paradise, and wow, what a beautiful place. Anyone that ever sees this place wants to be there. And then he takes him to the hellfire, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes unconscious beyond what you could even think. A paradise that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes, no eyes had ever seen, no ears had ever heard of, not even a mind can even think or contemplate of. A hellfire the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes, eating itself, burning itself. No one would ever want to be in there. There are descriptions that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had described the paradise and the hellfire, that we'll talk about it later on. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns. Upon his return, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam to display himself in his real figure. You've been showing me yourself like my height, your height, you know, just to have this harmony amongst us. But let me see how your real size. You sure? Yes, I want to see your real size. No problems. Jibreel alayhi salam displays his real size. His feet were touching the ground and his head was in the heaven. He had 2 wings, each wing more than 600 wings, that covered between what's the earth and the horizon and the moon. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a scene that no eye or even one can even handle. He collapsed. Do you know, look, what's this thing? Feet on the ground and head in the head. And the head in the sky. This is one creation of Allah, and Jibreel is not the biggest creation of Allah. Allah has greater creation than Jibreel alayhi salam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam returns back to Jerusalem. Upon the return of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Jerusalem, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam meets with his fellow brothers from the prophets and messengers, the 124,000 prophet and messenger before him, all gathered in Jerusalem, all standing in line, ready to pray, but someone needs to lead them. Who's gonna lead them beside Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is there awaiting, or the prophets and the messengers there awaiting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam descends down after a long journey, not in duration, in space, in distance, in information. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam returns to Jerusalem. Thousands of prophets and messengers, all prophets and messengers are there waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to lead them. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not only the leader of this ummah, but he's the leader of mankind. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He leads them all, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam returns back home on the Buraq. Returns back home on a Buraq. During his return from Jerusalem to Mecca, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam encounters two events. One, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam smells a beautiful fragrance, nice fragrance. So he asks Jibreel, "Oh Jibreel, what's this nice smell? What's this nice fragrance?" So Jibreel turns around and says, "This is the fragrance of the woman, the Muslim woman, believing woman. They used to comb the hair of the daughter of the Pharaoh and her children." Allahu Akbar, for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to smell this beautiful fragrance. And then he asks, who's that fragrance for? And then it's for a righteous woman in the past. She used to comb the hair of the daughter of the Pharaoh and her children. Like, you know, there's got to be some significance to this lady. Tell me her story. Well, her story goes as follows. She used to comb the hair of the Pharaoh's daughter. And she used to be a believer. And one day while she was combing the hair of the Pharaoh's daughter, the comb fell out of her hand. She picked it up. What do you usually say when you want to pick up something? You say, Bismillah. It caught the attention of the Pharaoh's daughter. Bismillah, in the name of Allah, my father. She said, no, someone above your father, beyond your father, the Lord of your father. The daughter of the Pharaoh, she's used to that my father is the Lord of the universe. Ana rabbukum al-a'la, I'm your Lord. Is there another Lord beside my dad? Yes, Allah. She informed her father. Her father summoned her. Do you believe another God beside me? Yes, Allah, your creator and mine. What do you mean there's another Lord beside me? I'm the only Lord, and I'm the Lord of the universe. Ana rabbukum al-a'la. Do you believe in another God beside me? Yes, Allah. He started to threaten her, intimidate her, torture her for her to leave and abandon the worship of Allah and to start worshiping him or believing in him to be the Lord of the universe, and she refused. So he escalated the punishment. She had four children. And he commanded the soldiers to bring a pot with boiling water. In front of her own eyes, he grabs the first child and he says to her, who do you worship? She says, I worship Allah. They throw the first child in the boiling water in front of his mom. And the mom is watching. Allahu Akbar. Still persistent. Grab the second child. Who's your Lord? Allah. Throw him in the boiling water, burning and melting right in front of his mother. Who's your Lord the third time? Allah. Grab the third child and throw him in the boiling water. There's one more child left, baby child, maybe still breastfeeding. They grabbed that child. Who do you worship? Now she became a bit hesitant. She's broken. It's not easy to see your own kids, children, burning and melting right in front of you in a boiling water. So that baby speaks. Who made him speak? Allah. He says, oh mother, stay on the true path and I'll see you in the Jannah. Thrown in the boiling water. And then she was thrown after them in the boiling water. Allahu Akbar. Allah honored her and her children that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam smelled, her beautiful fragrance smell, her and her children. Iman. Whatever sacrifice you sacrifice for Allah will never ever get to waste. The second event that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam encounters is a caravan from the people of Quraysh. It belongs to the people of Quraysh. Returning back from Syria, where they went on a trade journey to Syria, returning back from Syria to Mecca. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning to Mecca, they were asleep. They had a break. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped, went to one of their camels, and there was a full bottle of water where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it out and drank from it. Why? For a reason that I'll tell you later on. Remember this point. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns back to Mecca. All this happened within moments in the night. For you and I, it's very hard to comprehend. Yes. But Allah is the Lord of the universe. He can do whatever He wants, however He wants, whenever He wants, in any way, in any form, in any shape that He wants. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almighty and glory be to Him. Next day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathers the people of Quraysh, his own people, wants to inform them of this great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. Allah had blessed me to go in the middle of the night from Mecca to Jerusalem to the heavens and return back. All this within moments of the night. So everyone turns around and says, what? You're trying to convince us that you went during the night to Jerusalem and back when it takes us 2 months there and 2 months back? On the top of all this, you want to give us this story of you going in the heavens and coming back? It was very hard to comprehend, not only for the non-Muslims, even companions and Muslims and followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam struggled to swallow it. They said, now it's becoming too much. And the non-believers took opportunity and they took advantage of this for them to start turning people away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which they did succeed with some. And then they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and they told him, have you heard what your mate is saying? Have you heard what your friend is saying? He went to Jerusalem and back, all this within moments of the night. It takes us 2 months together and 2 months back. Abu Bakr said, is that what Muhammad said? So they said, yes. He said, by Allah, I believe in everything that Muhammad says. Muhammad receives a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the heavens when he's sitting next to me. And I believe him, and I believe him even more. That's when he was called As-Siddiq, the honest and truthful. So they gathered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to put it on the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's like, you know, when you try and put it on someone. So they told him, okay, you said you went to Jerusalem. Okay, we've got this person, that person, this person. You've been to Jerusalem, you've been to Jerusalem, you've been to Masjid al-Aqsa, you've been to Masjid al-Aqsa. Yes, yes, you remember Masjid al-Aqsa? Yes, we know how it looks like. Okay, we know you, Muhammad, you've never been to Jerusalem, you've never been to Masjid al-Aqsa. Describe Masjid al-Aqsa to us. Ah, we've got him. Describe it. You've been there, you haven't, describe it to us. Now obviously the Prophet Muhammad went to Masjid al-Aqsa. He went there during the night. He didn't really pay attention to everything. But then at that moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displayed Masjid al-Aqsa in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if he's there. And the Prophet Muhammad started to describe it wall by wall, pillar by pillar, door by door, its surrounding. And those who had visited Masjid al-Aqsa are listening and saying, wow, it's true. It's true. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them, and I'm going to tell you something else. Your caravan that you sent a few months ago to Syria on a business trip shall return after a few days, just after sunrise. Ask one of them if he had lost or missed a water. Ask one of them what happened to his full bottle of water when he slept that night. I said, okay, let's wait. This guy is probably saying whatever he wants to say. A few days later, people are gathering, waiting for the time. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them the caravan shall return back. And subhanallah, when the sun was up, everyone said, and yes, the caravan is arriving. And the moment they arrived, they asked them, did anyone lose water after they slept that night? I said, yes, me, a few nights ago. I slept and I made sure and I knew 100% that I had a full bottle of water. I wake up the next day, it was empty. But subhanAllah, some people, their iman increases, and others, their iman decreases. This is the great journey of Allah to His beloved Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's called Al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj. But that's the first reward that Allah gives the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next week, inshallah, we shall talk about more about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I remembered, next week we're not talking about the seerah. Next week we've got the panel that will be talking about the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In particular, in this blessed month, the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in, we celebrate the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by connecting ourselves to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, increasing the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. So inshallah, you and your family invited next Thursday after Salat al-Maghrib here at Tayyumay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.